Okay, well, there is a genre of songs that I call someday baby songs. You'll be familiar with this. There are many, and in all types of music, you will hear the someday baby songs. In country music, I wish McKenna was still here. I hope she can hear me. Oh, she's here. Hey, Kenna. Maybe you could sing this for me. Keith Urban sings a song called Better Life. You know the song? It goes like this. Well, I'm not going to sing. I'll just try to express it for you. Someday, baby, you and I are going to be the ones, and good luck's going to shine. Someday, baby, you and I are going to be the ones. So hold on. We're headed for a better life. Oh, now there's a place for you and me where we can dream as big as the sky. I know it's hard to see it now, but baby, someday, we're going to fly. Someday, baby. That's the hope. It's the hope of something that will be. Something that's more familiar probably to all of us, Bruce Springsteen and his breakout hit. He sang, baby, this town rips the bones from your back. It's a death trap. It's a suicide rap. We got to get out while we're young, because tramps like us, baby, we were born to run. Together, Wendy. If the song, if your name is Wendy, the song is probably especially powerful. Together, Wendy, we can live with the sadness. I'll love you with all the madness in my soul. Oh, someday, girl, I don't know when, we're going to get to that place where we really want to go. And we'll walk in the sun. But till then, tramps like us, baby, we were born to run. These are what I call someday baby songs. I think the heart of an artist sort of it wells up with this desire for something better, for something out there. And when musicians sing and they write these kinds of songs, it resonates with us. There's something out there. I call them someday baby songs. You'll hear these in different types of music. Weezer has a song called Island in the Sun. In The Greatest Showman, there's a song called A Million Dreams, and you can probably tell me a dozen more someday baby songs. Someday baby songs express a longing for something that is better, something that is out there, because we feel the pain of what isn't. We feel the pain of our situation now, and we long for a better life, a better world, a place without pain, a place without wrong. We want that. There was a famous mathematician. When you study geometry, you'll hear about a guy named Blaise Pascal. He wrote this. He said that inside the heart of every person, there is a God-shaped vacuum, a hole, a void inside of every person. And this hole, this void in our hearts, cannot be satisfied by any created thing, but only by the Creator Himself in Jesus Christ. Someday baby songs express that void that we feel, that can't be satisfied with all the treasures of this world. In Jesus' day, it was the same. He was doing things that were just different than anybody else. He was giving them a glimpse of what someday maybe could be. And massive crowds kept coming to him. He was healing every disease. He was casting out evil. And his message that he was giving people was good news for everyone. And people were coming to him, it seems, with this heart that maybe this Jesus can make everything better. Maybe with him, we can have a better life. And Jesus came with this message saying, there is something better. There is a better life. And he said, there's good news. The good news is the kingdom of God, and it has arrived. And so he's telling them this. And as he's telling them this, he was sitting on a boat next to the seaside in Galilee. And there was a place where he could speak to thousands. And he spoke to them in parables. A parable is a way of telling people things that are spiritual, telling people things that they're not familiar with by associating them in parallel with things that are familiar. In our passage today, we will see four parables. The parables go like this. There's a lamp, there's a listening measure, then there's a growing seed and a mustard seed. There's four little parables, very quick. Now, in this chapter, the first half of the chapter we looked at last week, that's about the sower that goes out to sow seed. And when he does this, we saw that the emphasis is this. The seed is the word of God that reveals Christ, the good news. And it's sown all over. And the difference of whether that seed produces fruit or not is the soil. And so there are four types of listeners. As the seed is sown, the thing is, with good soil, when someone will listen to it and hear it, receive it into their hearts, that word of God takes root in a person. How? By hearing God's word, by listening to God's word. Today we're looking at verses 21 through 34. And the emphasis, in contrast to those that parable in the first half of the chapter, that was on the seed taking root, okay? Beginning. The emphasis now is on this, what was planted, growing. How it actually grows up. And that's what our whole passage today is about. How does the seed grow up? How does it mature and produce fruit? Well, he says again the same thing. The way that the seed takes root is when a person hears the word of God, the message of Christ. How does it grow? How does it produce fruit in our life? Well, it's when someone that is a believer hears the word of God, revealing Christ. It's the same thing. Let's look at these. First, in verses 21 through 23, he says there's a lamp. I have a few here. I have some of these at home. These are terracotta clay lamps. You'll see these in the Middle East. You'll see these if you ever do a tour to Israel. These two I got from Dean Hegarty. And it looks like he burned this one. There's some carbon on this. What you do is you put olive oil inside these. You just put them in the middle. Put oil inside, and then you put a thread that becomes the wick, and it saturates. And then you just light the end of the thread. And it burns. And Jesus says, when you have a lamp, what you do is you put it on a shelf. You put it on a lampstand. And this is what you see in Israel. In these historic things of the way life used to be, light a lamp, you put it up on a shelf, you put it on a lampstand, even in the wall that would be built there. And what happens is this little light, like a candle, it just gives light to the whole room. What you don't do is you don't put it somewhere and then cover it with a bucket. Jesus is saying, by something that's very familiar, he's saying to people this, that he is this light. And what he's saying is this. Jesus is the lamp that is being revealed. He came to reveal the truth of his kingdom. And it is revealed for all who will listen. Do you see how the parable ends? Verse 23. If anyone has ears to hear, hear it. Let him hear. It's a command. Listen to this. Jesus came to just make it known. To just reveal this light of his kingdom. Second parable is the listening measure, verses 24 through 25. It begins with the same command, the same call to listen, to pay attention. He says, pay attention to what you hear. It's the same thing. When God's word is coming to us, the difference that it will make depends on this. Will you listen to it? Will it find a place in your heart? It is absolutely essential that you hear Jesus' word right now. Right now, because look at the emphasis in this parable. The listening measure has something that's repeated four times. He talks about what you have and what you will have. He says four times what will be. You see, the dynamic is the way you hear now will affect you. And it will cause certain changes in your life if you hear God's word. And then there will be a day when things will change. And on that day, he's talking about what will be. Four times he uses that phrase. With the measure you use, it will be measured to you. And still more will be added to you. In other words, how much of God's word you hear and how much it is absorbed into your life and it takes root and it produces and it grows. On a day that will come, things will be revealed and there will be a change so that the people that have heard God's word and have been changed by it will have a great reward. But he gives a warning. For the one who has, he says, more will be given. But from the one who has not, even what he has will be taken away. In other words, even what he perceives that he has. If you don't have it, you'll have nothing on that day. It's a great warning, severe warning. We have to listen to this. This is the thing. It's the first thing that you need to do in knowing God, in being made right with him, is you have to hear for eternal life, for your life. This is the work of God's Spirit as his word comes to you. You have to hear this. And what you hear of the gospel as it takes root in your life, that is what you will have on that day. On the day of judgment. Either you will have it or you will not. So he says, pay attention. Be very careful about what you hear. The word of God is revealing Christ. It is revealing the good news. And there are many ways to ignore that. There are many ways to reject it. We saw that last week. There are many things that can distract you from listening to God's word, from putting your life in alignment where you need and want to hear God's word for your nourishment, for your growth. So he ends by saying, pay attention. He transitions between those two parables. Here are two parables then about listening. And then he goes to these last two parables about the growing seed and the mustard seed. These are parables about a better life. People have come and they want to hear, is there something better? Is it possible that in the future things could be better? Could I be changed? Could there be a place where there's a better life? And he's saying, yes, there is. Now notice in the beginning of these first two short parables, it says, and he said to them, that's verse 21, verse 24, and he said to them, he's talking, I believe, to his disciples, these last two, and he said, and at the end of the whole passage, he did not speak to them without a parable, but privately to his own disciples, he explained everything. Now, understanding the parable of the sower is important to be able to understand these, because the seed that's sown is understood to be God's word going out. And the thing that he keeps saying over and over again is this. You have to hear what I'm saying. You have to pay attention to this. Now, what he's talking about is the kingdom of God. And so he talks about the growing seed, 26 through 29. And he said, now what is surprising about this is there's a farmer and he sows some seed. What is surprising, what's shocking about this is that how so much growth and so much life can happen when a seed is placed in the ground. Now, this is something that we are all familiar with. This year we had zucchini. We had a lot of zucchini. Zucchini grew really well for us this year, more than we need. And it started as a tiny seed. It's a fascinating thing. I mean, a seed, you put it in the ground and the soil is good and it has light and it has water. It grows. And you don't have to do anything to it. You don't have to massage it. You don't have to, like, pound down the soil around it. You put it in the ground. The farmer goes away. And he goes to sleep. And he gets up. And he does other things. And while he's away, just having sown that seed, it grows. The farmer doesn't do much. But another power is at work. I stand up here and I read the scriptures. And I do my best to make them clear. And God's word goes out. And God's word germinates in our hearts. It takes root. And it grows. It changes us. And it has an effect. God makes this happen. This is God's power at work. God gives the growth. We plant, we water, but God gives the growth. Power is released when God's word is scattered. When the word is going out, did you ever do those starter plants, little bits of soil, you put a seed in each one? Sometimes you'll get it just right and you'll get like eight and they'll all sprout up. But often you'll plant those seeds and you'll have like five out of eight. And the other ones just sort of nothing happens. Or you can plant two seeds right next to each other in the same soil. One grows up and another doesn't. You see, the power of God is what makes it grow. It's fascinating. I mean, two people can sit in a church and hear the same good news preached, and in one, it has an effect, and in another, there is not the effect. God's Holy Spirit must make it happen. This is what the word is when the word goes out. It's the good news. It's the good news of what God has revealed to us about Jesus Christ. It's the good news that takes root in a person's heart and mind. It's the truth that Jesus is able to save us from death. That we are great sinners, and it's just true. But Christ is a great Savior, and He is able to save us. He came to be a substitute. While we deserve punishment, Christ came and He died on a cross. And He gave His life so that we could be without sin. Because what He did was He took that on Himself so that He could take away our sins. And He is a forgiving God. And He's willing to welcome us, not by what we do, but by what Jesus has done. And this message comes to us through all of the Scriptures. He took our sins on Himself when He suffered on that tree. And whoever believes now, the Scripture says, whoever believes that, whoever trusts in Him to save us, has eternal life. The seed of the good news that grows also begins small. Do you notice that? In this passage, the seed just begins very small, and the farmer looks at it, and it starts with a little sprout, just a little sprout that grows. And it says the farmer doesn't even know how. See, the gospel begins small in your life. The gospel begins as a small germination. But the point is this, that where there is life, there is growth. Where God's word begins, God's word will continue. When the growth begins, it is nearly unobservable. It's tiny. It's a tender little leaf. It's a little shoot that starts to grow up. In a person that just becomes a believer, that just all of a sudden realizes that there's a Savior and He is able and willing to save me and I trust in Him, then a process of change begins in you. Now, growth sometimes is slow. But here's the thing. That growth that begins, God will mature it. There's a saying that it takes the whole Bible, this is God's word going out, takes a whole Bible to reveal the whole Christ to make a whole Christian. If you are hungry for God's word to grow in you, for you to bear more fruit, sometimes, I mean, I desire this. I want to be more like Christ. And I see in my life that I fall short. There are ways that I just want to be, I want to have better fruit. And I need Him. Well, it's going to come from His word and by me hearing it and being changed by it. And it's the same with you. Longing for more fruit, I want you to take heart. This is the good news. Where there is grace in your heart, there is hope. Things that start small are part of God's plan. God does this organically. You know, a new baby will become a man. The strongest man started out as a small baby. God grows His church this way. Grace in your heart must have a beginning. When God begins it, though, He will complete it. It says in Philippians 1:6 that I'm confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. We can rest on Him and we can sit there like corn in the soil and just desiring to be fed, just desiring for God to cause growth. And He will do it. Look at the call again. He's telling us the way that this happens is by hearing. Hearing God's word. It's the fertilizer. It's the fuel. It's the sustenance that we need that makes us grow. Hearing God's word is irreplaceable. It is indispensable. It is absolutely necessary for the grace of Christ to enter your life. By hearing, God's word takes root in your life. And by hearing God's word, God grows you. God grows you into what He made you to be, away from sin, ready for a better life, prepared and fitted for a better world. in His kingdom. We are great sinners, but He is a great Savior. And that truth, that good news, continues to pull us on, to fuel us. Last parable of the mustard seed. The parable of the seed growing shows us that, yes, there is a better life. This is where it starts. But where will it end? Well, the mustard seed tells us the answer to that. The mustard seed parable tells us that there's this little growing seed, and it grows in our hearts. But it's a seed that was planted that's growing now all over the world. And the point with the mustard seed is not that a mustard seed is technically the smallest seed, but it was understood as a phrase, like as small as a mustard seed. It was something that you would say if you were Jewish back then. And it's a tiny little thing. It's as tiny as a small grain of sand. And if you hold it on the very tip of your finger, it's just such a tiny thing. And he says, this tiny little thing goes into the ground, but it becomes massive, so much that birds can find shelter in it. So I looked it up. How big can a mustard seed grow? It can grow 8-10 feet wide, and it grows tall. On average, a mustard seed will grow 12 to 20 feet. And in perfect conditions, it can grow as much as 30 feet tall. From a little tiny grain of sand. That is explosive growth. That is an amazing thing. When I was a child, I got these packages of things that were little capsules. And it said, this will become a massive elephant if you put it in your bathtub. And so I got these things. And in the picture, it looks like this thing that you're going to hug with both arms. And I got it, and I put it in the bathtub. And it grew, and it expanded, and it was like this big. And it was just this sponge that was just pushed down. That is nothing compared to what God can do with a little seed of mustard, a mustard seed. He makes things that are as tall as it would go from the floor to the ceiling in this room. I mean, a handful of them would fill this room so much that we couldn't even fit. God is doing that with His kingdom. And here's the point. We who have received His word, who are receiving His word and the trust that we have in Christ, we can have confidence. God is doing something massive. The growth of the gospel through His word is happening. There's a start that the kingdom of God had with His people. Jesus chose a few followers and He said, I want you to be with me. And then I'm going to pass it on to you, and you're going to go out and you're going to tell people about what I have done. You're going to tell them about my kingdom and the better life that there is with me now and in the future. And they did. And it was growing small and organically in the whole world. He didn't do a big event. He didn't do a big thing. He said, I want to have a relationship with you, and I want to send you out to be my witnesses. And they did. And it has never stopped. And in the world now, the gospel keeps going out. The message of God's word keeps going out. I was reading about Iran. In the late 1970s, in the country of Iran, that's what ancient Persia was, is now Iran. Iran became governed in the late 1970s by a very violent Muslim government. And it was oppressive and violent against Christians especially, so that Bibles became illegal. And what happened? Well, as of 4 years ago, I read this article. Now, people track these things. Back then, they estimated that after the persecution began, and it was illegal to be a pastor or to have a church, and the Bibles were illegal, things started to grow. And they said, late 70s, probably about 500 Christians in the whole country. 4 years ago, they estimated at least 1 million believers. And it keeps growing. And I bet that in the last 4 years, it has grown more. God starts things small. And in places where it is very hard, it doesn't stop His growth. In Pakistan, in China today, there is an extreme opposition to the gospel. I mean, you look in the news every few weeks, you see that the Chinese Communist Party is bulldozing another church. Or they're taking down Christian symbols and they're replacing them with pictures of communist leaders. And they're saying, church, you can't do this. Do you know that in the country of China today, there are more Christians than in the United States? God's word is powerful. and it is growing. And those, not the Communist Party, but those Christian believers are our brothers and sisters. It says in Habakkuk 2:14, a hope that we can all have. It says this: one day we're going to see that big kingdom revealed, and it's going to be all of God's people, and it's going to be all that God has made, and it will be different from that point on until forever. Habakkuk 2:14 says this: the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. It's going to just cover everything. And how? Through his work, the work of Christ, and all of his people will be revealed on that day. Revelation 7 says this: after this, I looked, and behold, a great multitude that no one could number, from every nation and from all tribes and peoples and languages, were standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were crying out with a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." People from every nation and all tribes and peoples and languages standing before the throne of the Lord Jesus Christ. Friends, there is a better life. What matters is you hear it now, and you are changed by the message of the gospel right now. What is coming is bigger and better than you can possibly imagine. So believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and grow in him. Let's pray.